Well, glory to God. I don't know how to follow up with that. I think God knew that time was going to be short and precious. And I had even told Denise this morning, I said, well, what God gave me isn't really all that long. But I think it is timely for right now. How many of you have noticed the world seems to be getting darker? But how many of you remember that we are in the light?
There you go.
I guess you didn't get the memo. We are in the light. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. And we are in Him. Therefore, just as the moon reflects the sun, so we reflect the sun, capital S. Amen? Glory to God. It's kind of an overwhelming day. One, you know, with pastors being honored. Two, this being the last time for a little while to be up here, to exhort you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to give you what the Lord has been putting on my heart. And what I've had, actually, it was a word that God gave me on Wednesday evening during worship. Came out of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. And we have one assignment. I mean, there's a lot of details, there's a lot of things that we're called to do. But we really have one assignment, because if we don't fulfill this assignment, as you can read in John chapter 15, God might as well cut you off and toss you out because you're no good to Him. And I know that sounds a little harsh, but God's got an expectation for His people. He has standards. There are things that He is expecting of us. And in order to expect those things from us, He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness that allow us to do, especially, let me throw out, His grace, which is the ability to do everything that He's called us to do, so that we can be fruitful and multiply. Amen. And make more of who we are. And if we are walking in the Spirit and producing the fruit of the Spirit, then we will produce like fruit. Amen? Those around us that we draw, that the Lord draws to Himself and that He surrounds us with, will be more like Him. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, having your conversation, or another word is conduct, honest among the Gentiles. We just say people in the world, because there's the Jews, the Gentiles, and then there's us who are, as Christians, we are included as part of the promise. It says that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold or see, glorify God in the day of visitation. It is going to be through, I don't think this bee needs to be here. I'm sorry, God, I know He's your creation, but I don't want somebody to get stung. Glad I don't live in a Hindu world. They'd probably sacrificed me for stepping on their uncle or something. Sorry, Lord, but I don't know if anybody here was allergic, and we'd pray for you otherwise, but that kind of made me nervous. Having your conduct honorable among those in the world. They are not going to, God's just not going to show up in their room, although there are times Jesus does show up to the lost in vision and dreams, and sometimes they say even in person. But generally speaking, God's just not going to show up in the room of every lost person so that they would come to know Him, so that they would come to believe Him. As Denise was sharing on Wednesday, we are the body. Jesus is the head. You cover up the head, the body doesn't become someone else. It is still the body of Christ. Amen? So if we want others in this world to know the Lord, and that's what Jesus said, He says, go ye into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons, doing everything that we can to glorify our Father. I'm improvising here. I'm throwing stuff in. All of it is biblical. But what I'm saying is he has given us an assignment, and that assignment is to bring glory to his name and make disciples. And the way we do that is that our conduct would be honorable among those in the world. Amen? Because the opposite can be found in Romans chapter 2. And Paul lays blame, and he puts the finger out there and says, hey, look. Romans chapter 2, I'll just read verse 17 through verse 20. If you are a Jew, you are relying on God's law for your special relationship with him. You boast that all is well between yourself and God. Yes, you know what he wants, and you know right from wrong because you have been taught the law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a beacon of light for the people. So even these people knew that they were a guide for the blind and a light for the people. But here's a little catch here. It says, who are lost in darkness without God, you think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that in God's law you have complete knowledge and full truth. Actually, we're going to go down all the way to verse 24. Well, then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? If you tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but do you do it? You condemn idolatry, but do you steal from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say the world blasphemes the name of God because of you. And really, you know, this stuff, we don't really do this stuff as they say. But is any of our conduct in this world not align with the word of God? Just simply, are we not walking in love at every opportunity? Are we not considering others above ourselves? Are we not putting others first? Are we not looking for opportunities to serve? Are we pointing the finger when we should really be looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, what conduct in my life needs to change? What fruit in the fruit of the Spirit am I not walking in? Because if I'm not walking in one, then I am missing it as a whole. Now, we don't do it 100%, but we need to be checking ourselves. And in doing that, as we judge ourselves, we won't be judging others, and our conduct will be honorable, and people will be looking at us and saying, there's something different about you than others that I know. I want to know more. We are that beacon of light that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. Those on a hill. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on the stand and let it shine for all to see. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. My encouragement to you is, may everything you do bring glory to the Father. There is no such thing as an insignificant act of service. Jesus said, if you bring even a cup of water, you are doing it in honor of me. He said, if you do that, I pay attention. I recognize it. I will honor you for that. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father. Basically, taking, you can write down in reference that Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 and Mark chapter 5 and verse 16. Actually, you know what? That is Matthew. Maybe I should put on glasses. It is the same verse. Hey, I can see. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 emphasizes this. It says, we are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see we are honorable. It isn't that they can see us, but like the moon doesn't get any glory for its brilliance, The moon knows that it gets its brilliance because of the sun. Just as we get the brilliance of the light that shines through us because we are in the light. Amen? Hallelujah. I love knowing that I am one with the sun. Jesus said over and over in numerous places, he said, his prayer in John chapter 17 was, Lord, would that they would be one as the body, as I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in them. We are inseparable. Therefore, if there are people who say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in your Jesus, your message is rubbish, it wasn't anything Jesus did. It wasn't anything the Word did. More likely than not, kind of in the tone of what Paul said in Romans chapter 2, it might have something to do with the conduct of those who have claimed to be in the body of Christ. I know this seems kind of like a hard message, but really what it comes down to is, let's shine the light. Let's shine the light. Let's judge ourselves. The Word says, if you judge yourself, God won't judge you. And if you're so busy judging yourself, not putting yourself down, but continually evaluating the fruit of your life. What's coming out of your mouth? God says, we will be judged by the idle words that come out of our mouth. So let it be honorable. Let it be just. Let it be in love. Let it stir others up. Let it bring joy. Let it be peaceable. Amen? Let our words build up rather than tear down. We are called to build, not destroy. Now, we can break walls down with love, and that needs to happen. But everything else is about building up those around us. The world does enough tearing down. We don't need to do that. Amen? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. I'm going through this stuff pretty quickly. I hope you're okay with that. I don't want to take any more time than is necessary. But I do want to get this out in an effective manner. And that is, we have a job to do. If you ever tell the Lord, I don't think I have any more purpose for being here, he'll probably just take you home. I mean, if he has no other purpose for you being on this earth, if you're not going to be effective, then you might as well go to be with the Father. And I don't say that in any way that, you know, there's people in here who have no other business other than just to take up space. But my point is you're here on purpose. There is somebody that is still in this world that needs you. There's somebody that is in this world that needs to see your life, that needs to hear a word of love, that needs a word of encouragement, that needs a demonstration of God's love because they may never see it from someone else. As long as you're here, it means there is someone else here that needs you. Amen? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. We're going to look at verses 12 through 15. It says, let me see what translation I'll go through. It says, dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Another translation of that, you might be more familiar with this, is it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Eternity is guaranteed to no man if they're not willing to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And if they're not willing to, let me get the word here, hold fast to the end. If you're not willing to hold fast to the end, God's going to look at your life and say, were you really following me? I know there's a lot of doctrinal teaching out there about once saved, always saved, or whatever it is, but I don't believe Paul would have put this in here if he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's probably because I'm not saying, well, you could lose your salvation and God's going to reject you. That's between you and God. I'm not going to get into that. But it is important that we work out our salvation, our walk of faith with the Lord, moment by moment, every day, recognizing it is only Jesus who sustains us. Amen? Verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh." Yeah. Underline that. It is God that's doing the work. It's God that's putting forth the effort. He's just asking you to go out in the world and live as Christ would live. Be that ambassador, that representation. Let God do the hard work. Can you talk? Can you do an act of love? Can you go and tell someone, you know what, God loves you and I love you. Have a blessed day. Can I pray for you? Let God do the work. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He gives you the desire to do his work. His work is honorable. His work is enjoyable. And he also gives you both the will and to do. That means he gives you the grace and the ability to do everything that he's called you to do for his good pleasure. He finds pleasure in the work that his children do, that his body does, because it brings glory to his name. Amen. We need to be willing and obedient. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. For those who are willing and obedient, they will eat the good of the land. How many of you in here want to eat the good things of this land? Amen. That's not a selfish or I want the great things in this world, more money, more fame, more whatever. The good things are those things that God has set aside and has stored up for us. Amen. All those things, not just the things that you can see, but many of the things you can't see as well. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Ow. Do all things, a couple of places says, do all things as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord, not unto man. Do everything unto the glory of God. Do all things without murmuring or disputing. Work it out with joy and excellence. Everything you do, Jesus did everything with excellence. Why shouldn't we? He did everything with joy. Why shouldn't we? Amen. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I'm going to read that again because I think that needs some emphasis. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Going back to Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. You can also look at 2 Corinthians 5:11 that says, and I'm just going to reference it here, 5:11 says, it is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. When you understand what it means to have the fear of the Lord, what does Paul say here? It is because we know, we have revelation, a knowing of this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. That we are spending so much time dedicated to working diligently in our jobs, to living a life that is honorable to God, so others will turn from the darkness to the light. Amen. In verse 16, holding forth the word of God. Another way to say that, let me go back to Philippians 2:16 here. Verse 16, hold tightly to the word of life. So that when Christ returns, I will be proud that I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. Another way to say it here is hold forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God does not want the work of any person who is going out and spreading his word and doing his works to have it return void, right? What does his word say? He says, I send my word out and it goes and it produces what it was sent out to produce and it produces good fruit that remains. Your work was meant to remain. Those that you are witnessing to through word, through deed, through love, through example, God did not intend that you would have them see Him, His fruit, His glory, and then have them turn around and go follow the world again. His intention was that as they see Christ in you, they turn once and for all to God. That they do not return to the world because they have seen the best that God has. Amen. Hold on to the word of life. Don't let anyone steal it from you. Especially don't let the enemy steal it from you. Because he knows the word and he'll twist it. And he'll mess with your mind. So hold on to the word. Hide it in your heart. Just as King David said. I'm going to go to two last scriptures if you would allow me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 5. Each of these scriptures, I hope, are helping you to see ways that you can shine the brightest light possible for the world to see. This isn't pride, putting ourselves out there so others would see us. Because what does the word say over and over? As the light shines through us, they see the Father. Jesus says, everything I do because it was the Father telling me to do it. The Father was saying it so that He would be glorified. Not so that Jesus would be glorified, so that He would be, God would be glorified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words. And this is what separates the gospel from every other good speech that some man has given in history, but also with power. The word doesn't just go out, but it goes out giving life, and it goes out with power. Amen. It goes out to change lives. I've heard of a lot of good, I don't like the word, but secular speakers. There's a lot of good, charismatic, good speakers that are really enjoyable to listen to, but none of them, if they don't have the Holy Spirit and they're speaking the word, have power. But we have power because we have the word, amen? But also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can check what it is I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm 100% right on everything, but I try to follow what's coming out of the word here. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. Synergy. That the message that we are speaking is the uncompromised word of God, and the life that we are living is a reflection of that message. Amen? Synergy. They have to work together, because if one doesn't work with the other, guess what? We have hypocrisy, and you know how much the world hates hypocrisy. Especially when you talk about hypocrisy, you go to a group of people who you know don't know the Lord, and you say something about hypocrisy, do you know the first group of people that they're going to point at? The body of Christ. They're not going to point at other religious groups. They're not going to point at other groups of people in society. They're going to point out the ones that they know in their hearts represent the truth, but may not be living it. When you say hypocrisy, they say Christianity. Sorry, they don't say Hindu, they don't say Muslim, they don't say Buddhist, they don't say anything else. They say Christians. So what do we need to do? Go back to the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says, and you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. So let's make sure those two things align. So that there is no hypocrisy, so that they have no way of coming at you and saying, well, your life does not reflect what your Bible says you should be living. Verse 6, so you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As they see the light, they'll begin to imitate the light. If they're seeing the darkness, guess what they're probably going to imitate? The darkness. If there's more light than there is darkness, guess what they're probably going to begin to imitate? The light. As a result, you yourselves became an example to all the Christians in Greece. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Greece. For wherever you go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. And I'm going to change the wording in this just to make it a little bit more personal. As a result, you as the body of Christ, you yourselves became an example to all the Christians in Douglas, in Cochise County, in Arizona, in the United States, and for those who do go across the line, into Sonora or into Chihuahua or wherever it is that you go. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Douglas. For wherever you go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. Amen. That is the testimony that should be coming out of the church about each person that claims to be a part of the body of Christ. That others are talking about your faith in God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One last scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Are you getting something? I know time's getting a little short here. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Oh, glory to God. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there's a caveat to that. And that is this. It's hard to call on someone if they don't know who to call on. Amen? But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Another way to say it is that they would put their trust in him. And how can they put their trust in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go unless they are being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. How beautiful are all your feet. You might all be wearing shoes and maybe I've never seen your feet, but I know they're beautiful. Because I believe each one of you are doing what it says here and taking the message out where it needs to go, so those that will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that was the shortest and fastest message that I've ever gotten out. And I'm sorry for rushing through it, but I really wanted to get the emphasis out there that we have a job to do. We are all on commission, and that it is time each one of us, as the word that God given to our pastors that is put on the wall, it says, believe the word. I can say, trust the word, have full confidence in the word, have full assurance of the word, then take it to the streets. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Anyone. Another translation says, whosoever. I want every person in this world to be a whosoever. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word says that it is God who brings conviction. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts the heart. You don't have to work and try to convict the heart of someone else. You don't have to point out that their drinking's a problem. You don't have to point out that they're lying or they're stealing or their abuse or whatever the sin may be in their life is a problem. All you have to do is reflect the love of Christ. All you have to do, the goodness of God. If you are demonstrating the goodness of God, it says the goodness of God leads to repentance. You don't have to get anyone to repent. You don't even really have to convert them. All you got to do is show them the light. Can we all do that? Can we shine the light so that others will see? So that the Holy Spirit can convict them. They can't point the finger at you and say, well, you judged me and you were trying to get me to be one of your followers. The Holy Spirit's going to do that. The goodness of God that comes out of our life will lead to the repentance. You don't have to try to convince somebody that they have to repent. As soon as they see the power coming out of you from the Holy Spirit, they're going to get on their knees. They're going to cry out. How many countless people have cried out in the front of a television because God was working on their heart when they happened, or a radio, when they happened in front of someone who was preaching the uncompromised word of God, the gospel message, and God convicted them. It didn't even take a human being to do it in person. All it takes is the message going out. All it takes is the love of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I've never been in this position before. Knowing for many of you, it may be a little while before we see you guys again. We'll be back through. Trust me. I don't spend 10 years here to just never come back. This is family. You are family. And God may be moving us on to something else, a new season, a new opportunity, but you are family. You will always be family. And I owed a debt of gratitude to this couple, to their obedience, to their service, to their love, to their willingness to build up the kingdom by going places where no one else would go, by challenging me to be a man of God who I didn't think I could be, to give me opportunities and responsibilities I was not ready for, but I didn't have the willingness to tell them, although I'm sure they knew that I wasn't ready. And they said, if we give it to him, I'm sure he'll come through. I remember when they were in Hawaii. I was living there at the time. Well, I was there for 26 years, but when they were visiting before I moved here, I remember the very place I was standing in the auditorium. And Pastor Calvin said, he said to me, he says, well, if you'd like to come and visit us sometime and see what we're doing, you're welcome to come. Now, it was a few months later that I had come on a missions trip with my mom and the youth, did some vacation Bible school programs in the Pueblos. And I remember them sitting in my parents' kitchen and sharing what it was they were doing. And I never imagined over 10 and a half years later, I would look back and realize God had an appointed time for them to be in my life. He and my dad happened to be standing in line for lunch at an appointed time, a time in which the ministry was considering on whether or not to continue to support this ministry. And God said, you're supposed to continue the support of what's going on in Mexico. That was years ago, years and years and years ago. And God used that obedience from my father and them being obedient to go to Hawaii and share with my family back home that I found myself here. I found myself challenged more than you guys probably knew, growing in ways that I never imagined. And I owe a debt of gratitude to the both of you and to you that have been here, whether for a short period of time or a long time. I have gleaned something from each one of you. Thank you. Pastors, thank you. You said something to me. You said you were it pulled in my life to reach inside and pull out things that I couldn't have or I wouldn't have done myself. Thank you. If I didn't come here, I wouldn't have Denise in my life. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, pastors. And we want to honor you. I know it happens to be Pastors Appreciation Month, and maybe we moved at the appropriate time, but thank you. I was going nowhere really fast, and it wasn't that I was going off, but that God brought me here so that I would grow. So I would grow up into the full stature of Christ, or at least on the right road to it. So that I would accept the call that I told numerous people I wouldn't do. I think it was Mark who was saying something about, maybe it was Charles who was saying something about choosing to take on the hardest job. Fact of the matter is, I told people vehemently that I would not be a pastor. And I told God 6 months before they had asked me to be a co-pastor with them, if you want me to be a pastor, if you really want me to be a pastor, you're going to have to change my heart. Because I don't want it. I'll serve in numerous other ways, but that's not what I want. So if you want it, you change my heart, and then I'll do it. And he did. Be careful what you ask him for. Thank you, pastors. Your love for God, your love for the church, your love for the lost, and the one thing that stuck with me, your love for those who have never heard the name of Jesus is what has brought glory to God. Going where no other man would go. Going to where the drug cartels are. Going to places that no one's ever heard of. There are few in this world that will do that. And you have set an example for all of us. And you have left an impression with Denise and I that there are no limitations to what you guys will do. There are no limitations to what we should do when it comes to honoring the Lord. Thank you.
Well, I came here to get a car, but just as you told me, I remember the first week I was here during prayer. Denise, you may think you came to get a car, but I feel like God brought you for a greater reason, and well, I believe it. I ended having Eric, but right now that Eric was sharing that being here, God used you guys to pull stuff and to pull stuff from inside of me and to push me to do things that I knew I was called to do, but I was afraid to. I remember my parents asked me to chair many times in their church in Obregón, and I would say yes, and then I would say no because I would like be so nervous and scared and afraid to speak in front of people, but I knew I was called to preach, and I heard people saying how much they enjoy preaching. I was telling Eric, I'm starting to enjoy sharing the word of God. You know, you get over yourself, and it's all for God, and when you let him use you, he takes whatever. He used a donkey, so he can use me, he can use you. And so I want to thank everyone here for having us, for loving us, for taking us in your families, because, well, Eric and I were here by ourselves, and you guys are part of our heart, and we take you with us, and we love you deeply, and we want to honor you, pastors, and thank you for all your patience, your love, your trust, for trusting in us, and just throwing us in the water so we can swim and do what God has called us to do. And this has been a great time. It has been a hard time. For me personally, it has been a very hard time. But that's how God prepares us. He puts pressure to bring something beautiful, something great. And I'm very grateful with you guys. I'm grateful with everyone. I want to invite everyone to just get under them and learn. You know, they're not perfect. No one is perfect. But if you're willing just to serve them and to ask, what can I do? And how I want to learn to serve God. And God is going to use you in a mighty way. And we have a little something for you guys just to show our appreciation. We love you. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll be here soon, visiting, and like Ruben said, God knows what's ahead, and you have your home. As soon as we have an address, you'll have it, and you have your home in Little Rock, And we hope to see you all there.
Thank you, Eric and Denise. Everybody stand to your feet. It's kind of like Christmas today, isn't it? And all these gifts getting them passed around. And speaking of gifts, we just want to do one more little token of our love and appreciation. We'll be giving Eric and Denise a love offering. And now that you've heard him preach, you know what he's worth. So give the offering accordingly. I tease a lot, don't I? No, we can't live on what we're worth, can we? But do what you can. If you have a cash offering, feel free to just give it to them personal. If you need the money to go through the church and for a receipt purpose, just mark it on an envelope or a check or something, and we'll make sure they get all of it. But we just, you know, why don't we just charter a bus about next Tuesday and go to Little Rock? Amen. We're just looking forward to when we get to see you again. You reminded me of when I first met your dad. You mentioned that meeting, and I was standing between Jerry Savelle. Anybody heard of Jerry Savelle? He's a very popular preacher. Jerry Savelle's right here, and Eric's dad's right here. Jerry Savelle's about this tall, and Eric's dad's about this tall, and I'm standing between them, and I didn't know who to talk to. Tried to talk to Jerry Savelle a little bit. He tried to talk to me, and I just kind of froze up. There was such an anointing on him, I didn't know how to respond, and I was trying not to be rude, and Eric's dad saved the day, and he started talking to me, and we became friends, and this is what it turned into. So we just, you know, you never know what God's going to do or how he's going to use you, but be in the right place at the right time, you'll have fun. Well, you know, I don't know where to stop. I don't know where to start. This is just something that's happening that needs to happen. And we're just going to bless it in Jesus' name, receive it in Jesus' name, walk it out in Jesus' name, look forward to good times. You know, eternity is going to last a while. We're going to have plenty of time to have fun later, too. Amen. So give about 50 people a big hug and a kiss. You'll have to kiss everybody twice. But especially Eric and Denise, give them a big hug and a kiss. And what can I say? Go in love. Go in the name of the Lord. Enjoy your day.